Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we're going to be looking at the Old Testament lesson, the one that is the story of Naaman, in which he had a skin disease. But as we look at this, the story of Naaman is not just about a physical healing, but it's also about a transformation that takes place through the healing, but in a spiritual manner. Here we have a great man. Now, this is what's amazing and thinking about. God is God over the whole world, so that he even is considering that of this commander of the army of Syria. So we have Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, a great man with his master and in high favor because of by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor. Okay, so it's easy to be thinking, okay, God is on the side of Israel, of his people, but we find those times in which God also has a love for all peoples, even when we're looking at that of the healing of the 10 lepers in the gospel, that included among the Jews was a Samaritan. Well, God's love included all and does include all. Here, Naaman was the commander of the entire Syrian army, and it was as a result of God allowing him victory in battle, that he was a man of the highest bravery and valor. He had achieved greatness, popularity. Next to the king, he was foremost of all men in Syria. I mean, he was everything that the world's standards of success would be. He was great in himself, as we'll see. He was great in his position, great in his possessions, great in his achievements, great in his authority. Well, no, there's no element of lacking of greatness in this man. Note that it was in the eyes of man that Naaman was great. I mean, the world measures greatness in terms of wealth and power and knowledge and achievement. Great are those who wield powerful influence that make an impact, swaying the opinion around them. But the thing is, God does not measure greatness in the same way. You may recall, you know, when God chose David, the youngest son, 2 Samuel 16:7. God does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. No matter how great we may look to others, God sees the way we really, really, really are. Naaman was a great man, but with a great disease. As it continued in the last part of that verse that I just read, but he was a leper. A three-letter word has a way of changing everything. But Naaman, in spite of his greatness, was infected with a dreaded, incurable disease called leprosy. Mycobacterium leprae. I hope I got that right. We know it as leprosy. It terrified humanity for centuries. And the thing is, the problem that is still seen in parts of the world, it has seemed to be very rare in our country, but then with the street people out in L.A., it has cropped back up in Los Angeles, a very infested area. So, I mean, it's not completely gone, but the symptoms start in the skin and the peripheral nervous system, outside of the brain and the spinal cord. They spread to other parts, to the hands and the feet. and the face and the earlobes. Patients with leprosy experience disfigurement of skin and bones, the twisting of limbs, the curling of fingers that form what is called a kind of a claw hand. The facial changes include thickening of the outer ear and the collapsing of the nose. Leprosy destroys nerve endings that carry pain signals. So patients with advanced leprosy experience total loss of physical pain. You know, so when people cannot sense, touch, or with a touch pain, you know, one tends to injure themselves. Or they're unaware of an injury that's been caused. Leprosy was not known to kill, but it didn't seem to have an end either. It was something that a leper would linger with it for years, and causing the tissues to degenerate and deform the body, and then it would spread throughout the whole body. Just horrible. And so the whole person would eventually be kind of bloated and pimpled and scabbed. Now the thing is, this is a vivid picture of the ruin of human beings, utterly ruined in the lost condition as a result of sin. All of us have been contaminated with a highly infectious spiritual disease called sin. And it's affected all people. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, death through sin, thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Like leprosy, sin starts out small but then spreads, leading to other sins, causing damage to our relationship with God and others. And unlike leprosy, though, not only does sin damage our spiritual sensitivity, sin is deadly. Sin causes death. Now, he was a great man with a great disease. Well, when you have a great disease, you have need of a great cure. Naaman needed a cure for this disease of leprosy, and there was no known cure. Didn't matter how much money in the world you possessed, there wasn't enough money to buy it because there wasn't any cure. All the money in the world wouldn't have. All the works that one could perform would not earn enough to reprieve of the ravages of leprosy. Not a single doctor in all of Syria could cure the leper. Charles Stanley, you may know him in terms of the preacher, he said, "Search all nations, man has found no cure for sin. The whole world is one great leper house." Isaiah 64:6, "We are all like an unclean thing. All of our righteousness are like filthy rags." Naaman's disease was great and he needed a great cure. Even though his stature was great, it didn't matter. With this disease, it placed Naaman on the same level as everybody else who had been affected by leprosy. He was unclean. He needed a great deliverance. And God's word declares that like Naaman, we too are on that same level as all human beings infected with sin. And we're without the strength. We're without God, without hope, if we're living on our own. Naaman, a great man with a great disease, needing a great cure that could only be provided by a great miracle. It was going to require a divine intervention for Naaman to be genuinely healed. He needed a miracle of the great and mighty power of God to cure him. Now, we often may not notice this, but providentially, God provided a way for Naaman to discover the power of God in his life. Continuing to verse 2 and 3, "The Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back a captive, a young girl from the land of Israel." She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet in Samaria, he would heal him of his leprosy." A little girl, we don't know the age, but she knew about the prophet Elisha and that he, you know, he was one of God's prophets. A little girl is God's divine messenger to this mighty Syrian. If only he would be with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of leprosy. Here, she had been taken captive by the Syrians, by a raiding party, was taken to Syria, taken from her family and friends. Why would God allow this to happen to her? She was in that place, in that location, for a preordained moment that she could not have foreseen. She wasn't there just merely to make the beds and clean the closets. God had orchestrated her life. Now, we know about the life of Joseph when he was sold into slavery in Israel. That's a grand example of someone that had been taken away from his family. And even thinking of Esther, when she becomes one of the king's own, queens or princesses, and saying, "For such a time as this, God had preordained each one to be there." This little girl is where God wants her to be. All of the toil and troubles had prepared her. Whatever she may have considered about herself, poor, unworthy, or mediocre, she was a divine appointment to be a witness in the house of this Syrian commander by the name of Naaman. In one day, in one conversation, it would change everything. It would be life-changing for this man. You and I need to realize we are where we are by divine appointment. God wants for us to look for those opportunities to share the miraculous, great cure for sin, the need for spiritual healing that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Each of our lives can be viewed radically different when we see that God has a plan and purpose for the events in our lives. As I share some of the things, events that have happened in our life, I believe God has divinely ordered these things. So, 5 and 6, Naaman started out carrying the pounds of silver and the pounds of gold, the 10 sets of clothing, along with a letter from the king of Syria to the king of Israel. "With this letter, I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy." King to king opened the wrong letter to the wrong person, okay? The thing is that the king's language of Syria to the king of Samaria and of Israel, he can buy the cure for Naaman. There's no way that you could buy it, but that's what he was sending him for. And notice what happened. Elisha sends a message to the king. Somehow, I don't know how he found out in terms of the king being disturbed, ripping, tearing his clothing. Elisha sends a message, "Send him my way. I'll take care of it." Naaman is one of those high officials. He expects respect. He demands it. And he comes to the house of Elisha, and Elisha doesn't even come to the door. I think God had that planned out too. Elisha sends the servant, tells the servant to tell Naaman, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will come out clean." And as we noticed from the event, that pushed Naaman's buttons. He was angry. He was offended. I thought he was supposed to come out and do some hocus pocus kind of stuff or cry out to God. Something major anyway. And it was through the servants stopping their master and saying, you know, if you had been asked to do some grand, great thing, would you not have done that? But it's so simple. Everyone has a need for the miracle of God's grace. And there are those that want to do something. Give me something to do. And the gospel story says, it's already been done. The Savior took care of it on the cross. We need to listen to His word and receive it by faith. It can't get any simpler than that. There's nothing we can do. And thankfully, the servants, in their quiet manner of speaking to their master, he heard and he said, so he went down and dipped 7 times into the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. The moment we hear and obey his word, receive by faith his grace, there is salvation and the beginning of transformation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, as a result of this great miracle that provided this great cure for this great disease, for the great man, there's a great transformation that has taken place in the heart and life of this man. As it continues, Naaman says, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. And he went on and said, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but only to the Lord. Now, we tend to focus merely on Naaman's physical healing and overlook the remarkable inward conversion that accompanied this healing. There's a series of books that I enjoy every once in a while reading called The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. Written for children, but I'm still a child. And the one has in there, there's one that's called The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And these children are on this venture in this land of Narnia. Well, in this book, one of the children that is moved into this world of Narnia is a cousin by the name of Eustace. And Eustace is a brat. I mean, he just, ego and pride and all of that kind of stuff, and figures that he should be served hand and foot and not getting along with the others well. Well, they come to an island, and Eustace was told not to wander off. And what does he do? He wanders off by himself. He found a cave, and it's full of gold and precious jewels. He found among them a gold bracelet, and it was fairly large. And he actually put it on his arm and then fell asleep. When he woke up, he felt a kind of a discomfort on his arm and kind of scratched toward it and felt toward it. And what had happened is he had been changed while he was sleeping. When he walked to a pool and he saw the reflection of the pool, he had been turned into a dragon. He tries to go back to the ship. He tries to communicate with his cousins and the others. And first they're thinking, oh no, a dragon. They try to kill him. And finally he's able to get word to them that he's Eustace. And through being changed and having to remain in that form, I mean, you think of this dragon-like, what would the skin be like? I mean, to me it's kind of a leprosy of its own type. And he had been, finally, there came a point where the God figure, the Christ figure, that's a lion named Aslan, directs him to go into a pool and wash himself. And he goes in, and a layer of the dragon skin drops off, and tries it again, does it again. But it's not really removing the dragon form. So what Aslan says, you will not be able to remove all of this by yourself. I'm going to need to help you. So he had to lay down, and the lion slit, cut through this dragon skin deep, and out of it, Eustace was able to be set free and restored. He was transformed, and it was not just a change from dragon, but his inner soul was changed, as Naaman's was. So Naaman's transformation was not merely skin deep, it was soul deep. Naaman had been changed inside as well as the outside. Naaman experienced God's transformation, a touch of his life, when he came to God at God's terms, not his own, as evidenced by his confession and his commitment. Naaman has a change of a worldview. Now, for the first time, he openly acknowledges the true identity of God, who had been actually, as we saw at the beginning of the verses, the Lord God had been blessing him all his life and giving him victory in battle, and he didn't recognize it. He was patting himself on the back. So he openly declares that the God of Israel is the only God there is in the entire world. He is now committed to worshiping and serving only the one true God. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, "For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serving the living and true God." What the Thessalonians had been, they turned away from their idols to God. Naaman turned from his idols and turned to the living God. No one can continue in a relationship with Christ and live in the world and with Christ. It means a transformation. And it's through Christ and through the Spirit that works this miracle to deliver us from that great disease called sin. His desire is that we continue to grow in Christ, to allow our lives to be transformed. And that happens as we continue spending time in the Word and allowing then there to be a cleansing. We began the service early on with a confession of sin. Why do we do that? Because we still have the evidence and effect of sin. So we confess it. And we hear the words of Christ, words of God. Your sins are forgiven. There's a cleansing, a washing, a refreshing, in order that we're continually being transformed. We do that through the Lord's Supper. That as we come forward, we're hearing the words, "Get my body given for you, my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins." A new, fresh start, empowered by Christ. This is his work in all of us. All having been affected by sin, cured by the great Savior through the miracle of salvation through Christ alone. And all we can do, what we need to do, to God be the glory. Which, guess what? That's what we're singing. To God be the glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior and our living Lord. Amen.